Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And once again, Paul reminds us actually who he is addressing here, doesn't he? To who is Paul speaking here? He says, finally, brothers, or finally, brothers and sisters. He is speaking, he is reminding us again that he is speaking to Christians, to people who have put their trust, their faith, who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trusted in him alone for forgiveness. And now, because of that, because of who they are, because of the faith that they have, people who want to see their lives now changing, people who want to see sin having less and less of a grip on them, people who want to see themselves falling to temptation less every day, people who want to see their lives becoming more and more like Jesus. And he says to them, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you find sometimes that God puts certain verses or certain parts of scripture in your path? You're living your life, doing the things that you normally do, and yet in various places that you go to, you come across the same verse or verses. It's as if God is putting them there in your way so that you're being reminded all the time of those words. You're not sure why. You're not sure why God needs you to be reminded of these verses, but you know God is trying to speak to me here. I've had that experience recently with these verses. Time and time again in really different contexts, coming across these words. I'll share with you one of the strangest ones, really, was I was looking on the Guardian's website, and I saw an article there. As part of the 400th anniversary of the King James version of the Bible, various celebrities had been picked, you know, famous people had been picked to write out parts of Scripture, and they'd been given a selection of verses to choose from. You know, choose your favourite verse out of these verses. And one of the people that they'd asked to contribute was David Cameron. And surprisingly, the verse or verses he had chosen were not one of the ones that had been offered to him. He had said, no, I want to choose my own verses. And the verses that he chose were these two verses here. And the article read, a Downing Street spokesman explained Cameron's choices, explained why he'd picked these verses. The reason he chose those verses is because he's always liked them. They contain the central message of the Bible about leading good lives and helping each other as best we can. They contain the central message of the Bible. This is what David Cameron sees as the central message of the Bible, about leading good lives and helping each other as best we can. Now, I'm not intending to make any comments about David Cameron's politics this morning, but we have to say, don't we, as we hear that statement, his opinion about these verses, it is absolutely wrong, isn't it? It's absolutely, he's missing the mark. First of all, that isn't the Bible's central message, is it? It's not, the message of the Bible isn't that we are meant to lead good lives and that we are meant to treat other people and help them as best we can. No, the Bible's central message is that we cannot of ourselves do these things, that we have failed to do these things. But even in these verses, that's not the main thrust of what Paul is saying here, is it? It's true that leading good lives and that helping other people will be the end result. That will be the effect if we listen to what Paul is saying here. But that's not where he begins, and that's not where Paul ends here, is it? No. The way that we live, the practice, it's almost it's a byproduct, isn't it? It's a link in the chain, a link that takes us from the way that we think, our internal life, the thing that is true on the inside of us, the link that takes us from there to experiencing God with us, God at work in us. The God of peace will be with you. The Bible makes it clear time and time again, doesn't it? There is no point trying to deal with the outside of a person, the way that they live, the way that they treat other people. Because if we only deal with the outside, then there's no real change going to be in that person. The effect that we will have on that person will only be artificial. The Bible says if we want to see a real change, if we want to see a real change in the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we respond to other people, the change has to start much deeper, doesn't it? We have to begin on the inside. Paul says in another place in his epistle to the Romans, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? "By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern, you may know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." That's where real change has to begin, isn't it? That's where it has to begin. The Bible describes this with a picture of trees, doesn't it? Two different trees. We hear that a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. It's not the fact that it produces good fruit, does good things, that makes it a good tree, is it? That's not the way we work. It's the fact that it is a good tree, good on the inside, that allows it to bring out this good fruit. The same is true with a bad tree. It's not the fact that it brings out bad fruit that makes it a bad tree. It's not the fact that we do bad things that makes us a bad person. It's much deeper than that. And if we want to see our lives this morning being changed, if we want to start living in obedience to God, if we now, people who are trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, if we want to see our lives being changed, it has to happen on the inside. It has to start on the inside, in our hearts and in our minds. This is our first point. We are meant to think. May sound silly, may sound obvious, but it has to be our first point, doesn't it? We are meant to think. Before we can go on and say anything more specific about what we're meant to think, what will be the content of our thoughts, we need to understand this first point, that we are meant to think. We are supposed to think. As human beings, we have been created to think. The human brain is generally regarded as the most complex thing in the universe. I'm sure there are people here who could explain this much better than I can, but in each of our brains, there are 10 billion cells, nerve cells, and each of these cells is connected to 10,000 other cells. It's this intricate, complex, detailed thing which is just beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. Scientists are only just starting to get to grips with how this brain works. It's phenomenal. It should take our breath away as we think about how complex each and every one of us is up here. And these wonderful things are a gift from God. these wonderful brains that we have been given to us. They've been given to you and me by our Creator so that we can use them, so that we can think. Why is it so important to make this point? Why am I stressing this so much? Because there are people out there who would say that thinking is not important. There are people out there, certain religions, who would say that the only way we can know God, the only way that we can be at peace with ourselves and with other people, the only way that we can become one with creation and be enlightened is not by thinking, but by emptying our minds. We are meant to clear our minds completely, make it blank, like a blank slate, absolutely clear, completely empty your minds. We are supposed to meditate and do our very best to not think anything at all. Absolutely blank. And that's what they say. That is the way to God. This is the way to become a better person. This is the way to deal with all the problems in your life, is to clear your mind. That's just so foolish. So stupid. How are we going to understand anything about God? How are we going to understand anything about ourselves? How are we going to understand anything about this creation if we don't use our minds? If we don't use these brains that God has given us? We are meant to meditate, but meditation does not mean blanking out everything else. It is about focusing our minds, focusing our thoughts on the things of God. Other people might say that thinking isn't important, or isn't as important as emotions. Even within Christian circles, they say that there's a danger here that we turn the Christian message into something intellectual, that it is purely something of the mind, and that only the very cleverest people, the brainiest of people, can become followers of Jesus. They would say, we don't want to talk about thinking. We want to talk about feeling. Our emotions are the important thing. How does this make me feel? Does it stir me up inside? Does it put my heart on fire for God? Does it stir me up to love God more and more? There's a danger there, isn't it? There's a danger there. What happens when you don't feel on fire for God? What happens when you come to a service and you feel down? What happens when you come to worship God and you don't feel yourself being stirred up? Does that mean that the message isn't true? Does that mean that God isn't there? That the Christian message, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is no longer important, is no longer relevant, doesn't have anything to do with you? See, the truth is, it's not a question of either or. You know, either thinking or feeling. It is both and. Think of what Paul has just been saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say to you, rejoice. Of course it's meant to be something that stirs us up, something that we rejoice in. He speaks, doesn't he, of praying from our hearts, lifting up everything that we have to God, trusting in Him for everything. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Of course, we are meant to be touched by the things that we hear. Of course that we want our love for God to grow. But the only way we can know the gospel, the only thing that these things can affect us, is if we think about them. If we understand what is being said. The Christian faith is not blind faith. We don't just accept these things unthinkingly and just carry on. No, we're meant to think through them. The Christian faith is built upon evidence, facts, places, people, history. It is a faith that is to be thought about. We are meant to think. That's our first point this morning. We are meant to think. Of course, we may have different levels of intelligence. Some people are able to understand some things better than others. I am terrible at mathematics, for example. I'm terrible at maths. But it doesn't matter what our intelligence is. That's not the point here. That's no excuse. Paul is saying that you and I, to the best of our ability, are meant to train ourselves to think. It's not something that's easy. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. It's something we're going to have to discipline ourselves to do. If it was something which came that easily, Paul wouldn't bother mentioning it, would he? It's something we need to do and make ourselves do. We are meant to think. So the next obvious question then is, what are we meant to think? This is our second point. We are meant to think certain things. We're not just meant to think anything that we want. We're not just meant to fill our minds with whatever we see fit. No. Paul here gives us these guidelines. He says, if you and I want to move on in our Christian life, if we want to become more like what God has intended for us, if we want to become more like Christ, we are meant to think about the following kinds of things. This is the kind of thing which is meant to fill our minds. Things which are true. Whatever is true. As Christians, we believe in absolute truth, don't we? We believe that there is an absolute standard of truth, that there are things which are true, and there are things which are not true. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of interpretation. No, there are things which are true, things which God has revealed to us to be true, and things which are not true. And so Paul here is saying that we are meant to fill our minds, think about those things which are true, which are in agreement with the truth. How do we know what is true? Well, God has revealed it to us, hasn't he? He has revealed the truth to us in creation, in nature, in the world that we see around us. And he has revealed the truth to us in divine revelation, in his word, in the scripture. And these things, the Bible and creation, when correctly understood, will be in total agreement with one another. And so we are meant to do our best to fill our minds with things which are true, which are correct, which are right, which are in agreement with what God has told us about himself, about us, about the world around us. We're meant to think about things which are honourable, things that are fitting, things which are appropriate for us as Christian people. Things which are appropriate for us, appropriate for who we have been called to be. Paul has already described in the last chapter that Christians are citizens of heaven. We really belong in heaven. We are sons of God, sons of the Most High God, children of God. And so, we are meant to fill our minds with things which are honourable, things which are right for children of God. How should we, as citizens of heaven, act? What are those things which which reflect who we are as people who have been saved by God. We are meant to think of things which are just. We're meant to ask this question, what things are just? What things are correct in the way that we interact with God and with other people? God has revealed his justice to us, hasn't he, in his law. Do you remember how Jesus summarized the law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We are meant to think in this kind of way, in a just way. We are meant to think in a way which agrees with God's holy law, that we love God with everything that we have, that we treat other people as we ourselves wish to be treated. We're meant to think of things which are pure. We live in a fallen world, don't we? The things around us have been tainted by sin. And so we must strive, do our best to think about those things, focus on those things which are pure, those things which are good, those things which are from God, those things which are least corrupted by the effects of sin. We're meant to think of things which are lovely. These things, they ought to be lovely in our eyes. As we see people acting in a certain way, or as we learn something new, something, for example, about the brain, how amazing the brain is, it should draw out a sense of wonder, of loveliness. Wow! These things are amazing because they show us something about God. These are things which are beautiful to see, that we love to see. We're meant to think about things which are commendable. Things which are commendable. Things which we can recommend to others. Our entire lives are bearing witness to Christ. Our entire lives, everything about us, bears witness to who we are. To the fact that we are trusting in Christ for salvation. And so our minds should be set on things which are commendable. Things which we would be happy for other people to know about. Things which we would be happy, or are happy, that God sees us thinking about. We are meant to think of things which are excellent. If there is any excellence, things which excel far above ordinary things. We aren't meant to set our sights low. We're meant to have high standards. Our thoughts are meant to be up high in heaven with God. We are meant to think of things which are worthy of praise. Things which we can speak highly of. Things which bring honour to God's name. It's a long list, isn't it? It's a long list of things and that we need to be thinking about. And if you want to summarise it, I will summarise this list for you now. If you want to summarise this list, how can I think of things which correspond to this list? I'll tell you now. Think of Jesus. Okay? Think of Jesus. He is the ultimate example of all of these things. He is the fullest expression of all of these qualities. Everything about him, the way that he treated people, the way that he spoke to them and dealt with them, the way that he lived his own life when other people weren't watching, the way that he spoke to God. Everything about Jesus we see in this list. He was true. He was truth. He was honourable, he was just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. He was all of these things. And so, our starting point needs to be, think about Jesus. This is the most obvious way that we can fill our minds with these things, is to think more about Jesus. Think about him. Read about his life. Read about the way that he lived. I heard somebody say once that we are meant to read about Jesus, learn about him, get to know him in Scripture to the extent that we can begin to see how he would respond in different situations. You've seen those wristbands, haven't you? What would Jesus do? It's kind of like that. That as we read about Jesus' life, the more we see him responding to people, we'll begin to be able to apply that to our own lives. And as we face situations and we think, well, what am I meant to do here, Lord? We can begin to see, what would Jesus have done here in this particular situation? But how else can we think about these things? How can we fill our minds? How can we fill every part of our lives with things that correspond to this list? First of all, we can choose, can't we? Our lives are filled with choices. And so we can choose to think about this kind of thing. We can choose to surround ourselves with things which tick all of the boxes on this list. We choose, don't we? We choose what we watch on television. We choose what programs, what films, what documentaries we feel are appropriate to us. And we should be choosing those things based on this list. We choose what music we listen to, what the content of that music is, what the lyrics talk about. And we should be choosing our music based on this list. We can read books, can't we? We can read books which are written to help us think in a biblical way. Books which will help us think about the things and understand the things of God. We can choose to spend time discussing these things with one another, helping one another as God's people, asking advice, encouraging one another. What else can we do? Well, I'm going to condemn myself here, because there are two obvious things which, maybe this is why God has been putting this verse in my path, because there are things which we can do and which we find so difficult to do, aren't there? We can memorize verses of Scripture, can't we? We can learn pieces of God's word in our mind. We can fill our minds in that way, so that in different situations, at different times, it's like a well in our minds, and we can draw from that well. And God can remind us of verses which will be of help to us in different situations. What else can we do? We can spend time thinking. How many of us spends time just thinking? I know the time is precious to a lot of us. We have so many things to do with our time already. But there is a value in just taking time to think. After we've been to a church service, do we go home and carry on with whatever? Or do we spend time thinking, mulling over what we've heard, applying it to our lives? Do we just waste our time with the things that we think about? I know I do. I'll spend hours in the car, hours in bed, just thinking about things which they have no lasting relevance. Things which will not be important in a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Do we spend that time in an effective way? Do we spend that time thinking about eternal things? Thinking about Jesus, thinking about what God has done for us, thinking about what heaven is going to be like, filling ourselves with high, wonderful views of heaven. And it's not just a case of choosing what things we are going to fill our minds with, it's also choosing what things we are not going to fill our minds with, choosing what things we are going to avoid. What things do not correspond to this list? What things are just going to open the door to temptation and to doubt? I read, didn't I, from Psalm 101, and there the psalm says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless, anything that corrupts. I will choose not to go to certain places. I will choose not to read certain things. I will choose not to watch certain things because I know that those things will be ingrained in my mind for years to come and will tempt me and will drag me down. We all know that, don't we? We know what it is to hear something and you wish you hadn't heard it because you can't forget it. It's in there. It's in your brain. Burned into our mind. We need to choose to avoid these things at all costs. But it's not just about our choices either, is it? Because sometimes we're going to come across things that we haven't chosen to come across. It's part of everyday life, isn't it? And so, we need to work on how we respond to things as well. We live in a fallen world, and everything that we come across in this world is not going to be true and just and lovely and commendable and so on. And so we need to learn to respond to these things, to break them into pieces, to analyze them, to take the good which is in them, and to reject the things which are bad about them. I'll give you a few examples of what I mean. I love reading Lord of the Rings, okay? I may have mentioned it before, probably. I love reading Lord of the Rings. I've read it countless times. And as we read a book like Lord of the Rings, there are things in that book, okay, and in whatever you enjoy reading, I'm sure there are things in that book which are lovely, okay? There are things which are lovely. There are things which we can read in these books which are beautiful, which are admirable. In Lord of the Rings, we read about a character called Gandalf, who is willing to sacrifice himself in order that his friends can escape. And we read that, don't we? And we can read that and think, wow, that reminds me of Jesus. That reminds me of the gospel. That reminds me of the lovely, amazing sacrifice which Jesus made for me. But Lord of the Rings also, in a way, glorifies war. There is a certain esteem given to warfare and fighting and killing, and that doesn't correspond, does it, to this list? We take the good, reject the bad. When we're watching a game of rugby or football or whatever your sport of choice is, when you watch that, you can appreciate justice. When you see a rugby player, I won't mention any names, but in a certain World Cup, a rugby player making a dangerous tackle and receiving a red card, you can read the rules, read the law book, and appreciate that there is justice being done there. A dangerous tackle has been made, something has been done which is wrong, and a punishment has been given. And that reminds us of what the Bible teaches, doesn't it? That we have all, as sheep, gone astray. We have wandered from the ways of God, and that there is a punishment for that sin. But we need to balance that, don't we? We need to remember the ridiculous amounts of money that some rugby players and football players earn, while people in the same cities are starving. There's a justice in sport, and there's a real injustice at the same time. Or maybe you enjoy going to a museum and or to look at pieces of art. And as you look at a piece of art, you can see truth in that piece of art. You can see that actually what the artist has done there tells me something true. It reflects something about our world. But at the same time, we need to ask, is it telling the whole truth? We need to be discerning. Is it distorting the truth in a certain way? Take the good, reject the bad. It's important that I say that this will be a matter of conscience. What some people think is acceptable and fine will not be okay for other people. And so we need to be sensitive. Where does Paul go from here? He doesn't leave these things in the mind, does he? He doesn't just leave them with the internal. Only once he has dealt with the life of the mind, what is going on inside us, Paul now starts to speak about how we should act, how we should live our lives. We're not just meant to think these things. This is our third point. We are meant to practice them. See, these things, they're not just intellectual, are they? It's not just a game working out which things are true and which things are false, which things are worthy and which are unworthy, which things are excellent and which things are not worth thinking about. No. These things are, as David Cameron suggested, they're meant to affect our lives, the way that we treat other people. Of course they are. They don't just stay up top, they're meant to work their way out into every single aspect of our lives. It has to be that way, doesn't it? There's no point telling a person, you need to act in a just way, if they don't know what justice is. You're not going to live a very pure life if you have no understanding of what purity is. And so, as we spend our time thinking about these things, we need also to think, how are we going to apply them? How is this going to look in my life? How is this going to affect the way that I do my work? How is it going to affect the way that I play football on a Saturday morning? How is it going to affect the way that I read the newspaper? How is it going to affect the conversation that I have as we wait to pick up the kids from school? How is it going to affect our lives? Paul expects his readers here to practice these things, doesn't he? What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, don't just leave it in your brain. Practice these things. Do them. Don't just discuss them. Don't just think about them. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't know what to do and then not do it. We are meant to start living this way. What is the end result? The God of peace will be with you. We will have the God of peace with us. God will be with us in the way that we live our lives. God will be with us in the way that we think. He will be with us in everything. Why? Because we have worked our way up to God, because we have earned our way to God? No, not at all. He will be with us because we are trusting in Him. We've come full circle, haven't we? Do you remember what was being said in verse 7? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is with us when we trust in Him. the God of peace is with us when we live for him. I'll ask you, are you this morning trusting in God for everything? Are you depending completely on God to save you? Do you know that there are things in your life that you cannot deal with? That there is sin in your heart that you cannot get rid of? There's a stain on the inside that you cannot wash away. You're the salt in the cup of tea. And you can't change that on your own. Are you trusting in God? Are you depending on him? Are you trusting in him to save you? And are you trusting in him to change you? We should be happy to stay as we are. We shouldn't be happy to trust in God and then say, I want to carry on as I am. No. We are meant to be renewed. We are meant to be transformed. We are meant to be changed. And we're meant to be doing that, constantly trusting and depending on God. And if we do that, if our trust is in him alone, we can know that the God of peace will be with us. He will be with us. When we face that difficult question in the staff room, when we're flicking the television and we're not sure whether we should be watching a certain program, when we're reading a book and we come to a certain chapter and we think, is this right for me? As long as we're trusting in God and asking him to guide us, the God of peace will be with us. Do you know this morning that the God of peace is with you? Are you trusting in him alone? For his glory. Amen.